Wednesday, April 25th, 1984 at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Our chapel service today, the Student Council Installation Service.
Again, I've been asked to make one announcement. The brass ensemble will be playing in front of the chapel following the service, and you're cordially invited to stay around and listen to them. The scripture reading for this morning is found in Philippians 2:3-11. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we praise you for your love as revealed in Christ, who loved us enough to suffer the humiliation of the cross. We find meaning for our lives in his perfect life, and we hold him as our master and our Lord. Following his example, may we too strive to be all that he has called us to be as his servants. Work within us, we pray, so that we may be more like him.
Help us to take upon ourselves the burdens of service for others in His name. Help us to stand firm for truth despite the cost in His name. Help us to live in love for all others, even if they answer with hate. We make this our prayer as His servants and in His precious name. Amen.
My message today, if it had a title, would be this: The Other Rich Young Ruler, or Would You Expect Someone to Do Something You Wouldn't Do? The story of the rich young ruler has been one of my favorites, and I've always wondered what would have happened to this fella if he would have accepted Christ, if he would have given away all that he had. And I've thought of this too, that maybe as he went away, what if he would have come back the next day and said, Jesus, give me another chance. I believe Jesus would have. But you know, there's another story of another rich young ruler in the Bible, and that's the story that I'm going to be talking about today. But first, I would like to read the story of the first rich young ruler, which is found in Mark 10, 17 through 22. And as he was sitting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now that is the account of the first rich young ruler. The second account, I feel, is found in Philippians 2, 3 through 11. This rich young ruler was wealthier than any man that's ever lived. He was wealthier than King Solomon. His wealth was so great that it's more than all the world's value. This man was the greatest king that's ever lived and ever walked on this earth. But you know, he gave up all of this. This man was Jesus Christ. He gave all he had, all he was, for you and for me. This year in student council, we've had a theme of working together. And I feel like we have. There's a lot we didn't do, but there's a lot I feel like we did do. This theme, I was hoping, would reach not only the campus, but would in some way touch the Southern Baptist Convention. And I feel like the people that we touched this year and that touched us have that in their heart to do something about working together in the SBC. I believe this passage of this second rich young ruler, Jesus Christ, gives us some guidelines of how to go about working together. How about going and loving one another. This passage shows how much God really loves us and shows us that we too should be loving people. There's four little keys to this passage that I see. And first, it's have a high value for others. And I challenge all of you here today. I challenge the new student council members. If you're going to take your work seriously as a minister, if it's in student council, if it's in a church, or if it's with the people you meet daily, have a high value for other people. Put them over yourself. Treat them as you would want to be treated. This is what Christ did. Second, be truly interested in others. Every day I get caught up in the same thing, and many of us do. I'll say, how are you doing? Fine. And I say this every day. One day I was in the cafeteria this semester, and I asked one of the ladies, I said, how are you doing? She said, fine. Then I said, really, how are you doing? She said, I'm not doing so well. And she proceeded to tell me about her son-in-law. They thought he had a heart attack and some other things. And then she thanked me for being concerned. And that made me think of how many opportunities I miss every day. People are hurting, and they're hurting on this campus too. Be truly interested in other people. The third point that I have today is empty yourselves. Christ was the richest man that ever lived. He was the greatest of all rulers, King of kings, Lord of lords. In his youth, in heaven, he would never age. But he gave all this up for you and me and people like us to give us another chance to show that he truly loves us. Do we really show others that we truly love them? Empty yourself. Be a servant. Serve instead of wanting to be served. My final point is really the greatest of all, and it sums all of these others up, and that is obey God even unto death. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this has been a good year in my life, and a good year in the lives of many others. But it's also been a bad year. We've seen so many things happen in the world that you wouldn't approve of, and neither should we. Lord, help us really make a difference, not only in this campus, but in the lives that we touch daily. Help us make a difference in the Southern Baptist. Help us make a difference in our relationship to other Christian denominations. Help us truly work together in love and harmony. And help us portray what your Son, Jesus Christ, did beautifully on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to introduce to you Gerald Worrell. Gerald, would you come up? Gerald is our new student council president, and I'm really proud that he is going to be the council president. He's got a big job this year. They've got a lot of goals and a lot of things to do. And I want to ask the new council members if they would come up here and stand up front here. Would you come now, all the new student council members?
You what the man said?
I would like for Gerald to introduce every one of these and to give us their job description or tell what job they will be filling.
As I introduce each new student council member, I'd like for them just to step forward so that we may recognize them. Serving on some of our committees, Cheryl Salter will be Student Welfare Coordinator. Cheryl. Neil Jones, Ethics Committee. Willie Rash, Spiritual Life Committee. Brian Williams, Social Committee. Our MRE representative is Doug Jordan. Our junior class reps for next year, Fred Lida, Edgar Bowles, and Dennis Pickman. Our senior class representative, Mark Holler. Wayne Rogers, and Larry Mayfield. Also, our senior ADIV rep, Buford Smith. Our council officers, Wanda Powell will be serving as treasurer, Wanda. Dom Simpkins, secretary. Jack Frank, vice president. And yours truly, as president. I ask that the congregation please join with Joe as he reads the litany of installation.
This is a fine-looking group here. And I think the student council is in very good hands for this coming year. We come and worship and praise to God, dedicating ourselves to ministry wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are called. These before me have been called by their peers to take on the responsibility of representing their interests and their concerns before God and women and men. We have gathered today as an affirmation before God and each other to start the task together. Are you willing to accept this task?
Yes.
Then you must be ready to assume not only a call to responsive leadership, but servanthood as well. To respond to these, one would assume the likeness of the servant Jesus Christ, who taught that the first will be last, and the last will be first. Are you willing to do this?
Yes.
Will you join with these, your servants, in affirmation of them, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing always that the work of the Lord is never in vain? And are you willing to promote the ideas that these thy servants proclaim? Then, my friends, you are armed with the love and hope of your peers and the grace of God. You are ready to do that task for which you have been chosen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As the new council is going back to be seated, I would like to call on a good friend of ours, Woody Taso. He has a presentation that he needs to make at this time.
Joe, if you would, come forward, please. Since the earliest days of the seminary, we've always had a student council. And as you look back through the records, it's interesting to read some of the old minutes and the old files of the things that have been done. And it's a good feeling to look and to see that the student council, for the most part, has always been a vital part
of what the seminary has tried to do in terms of fulfilling its purpose and its task in this place and this time. And it's something that I'm proud of to be a part of, and it's something that really helps me do my job better to have a strong student council. And I have appreciated the way in which this year's council has gone about its work with sensitivity and compassion to the needs of the student body and trying to look and respond to those things which they feel are vitally important to us as a seminary family and to our broader community as well. So Joe, when I say thanks to you, I'm really saying thanks to all of you who served in the different capacities on the council and for what you have meant to each one of us this year. I think it's safe to say that the effectiveness of a student council is directly related to the leadership that it receives. And Joe, you have given the kind of compassion and sense of leadership that this council has needed this year. And I've appreciated the ways in which you have tried to respond to individual needs and have made yourself available to people. And as a token of our appreciation and a way to say thanks, I'd like to present this gavel, which is appropriately engraved to as a way for you to remember this time with us and as a way to know that we appreciate what you have done for us in this year. We thank you. Thank you.
I wasn't expecting this. I really appreciate this. This has meant a lot to me. And serving this year has helped me in so many ways. It's helped me to learn to love people better. And I just want to thank you for this.
I just love surprises, don't you? I've heard many students say that the height of their seminary experience is standing in this very pulpit, but I have problems with that as I shake before you this morning. No, seriously, I stand before you as a Christian brother, a friend, most of all a person who is concerned about his fellow classmates. As I reflect over my past 2 years at Southeastern, I realize that I have faced many struggles. But with each struggle, I have grown and matured into the person God would have me be. Earlier this month, as I sat and pondered, the following thoughts came to my mind. I would like to share them with you now. I sit in my little world, and I wonder who I am. To him, a servant, a child. I stop for a moment to glance through the cracks of my life. A life so close, but yet so far away. I strive to reach out. I want to lose myself. I become engulfed in his love. Who am I? What controls me? Who controls me? Where am I? What must I do to gain myself? I dream of happiness, and I see his face. I feel the touch of his hand in mine. I become lost. I wander. I become scared. What must I do to be rescued? How can I stay lost in him? Or should it be found in him? The mystery is great. His love is great. A mystery of his love. For me, God's love is truly a mystery at times. A love so great that it cannot be explained, or as D.M. Bailey would call it, a paradox. Not only is his love hard to understand at times, but his call. His call to me. A call that has been questioned so many times during my seminary experience. I have heard speakers from this pulpit say, "Well, I've been calling to the ministry as long as I can remember." Boy, how I wish it was so simple for me. Yes, I have been called, but yet I am only human. I have found the root of my call through the seminary, through this seminary, and have found love, support, and comfort from both fellow students and my faculty. The search for the real self has begun and will continue to grow because of the family that I have around me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, through the call of Jesus, men become individuals. Through my call, I have become an individual with a specific task ahead, just like the rest of you. I am not sure what that task is, but I must have faith enough to trust and follow God's guidance. It is up to each student here to strive and grow as one has never grown before. The task ahead will be awesome, and we must prepare. As we prepare, we must not let the needs of others go unseen. We must serve one another and the community around us. We must practice our ministry. At the end of her autobiography, Helen Keller says, as quoted by Wayne Oates, there is joy in self-forgetfulness. So I tried to make the light in other people's eyes my sun, the music in others' ears my symphony, the smile on others' lips my happiness. Let us learn to see Christ through others. Let me close with the following point, my close and dear friend. We pause by each other as we pause in the hallway to glance at ourselves in the mirror, hoping to see in reflection that which is good and worthy of presenting to the world. Fill then our mirrors, Lord, with the light of your love, that we may reflect to others, that we may see in ourselves that which is good. May we step long to look deeply at an old rugged cross into an empty tomb. Then tap us on the shoulder that we may look deeply into your eyes. For now we see into the glass darkly, but then we shall see. Let me encourage each of you to look deeply into your own lives and into the lives of others.
Let us pray. As we depart this place, O God, we are mindful of the fact that responsibility and service bring vitality and purpose to life. Go with us now, O God, and fill us with a sense of your continued presence as we minister together with those whose lives touch ours. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.